Well, greetings to all of you this morning. I'm glad to be back here. I trust you are too. How many of you filled out your little paper I gave you, your homework yesterday? How many of you did it? Raise your hands high. I'm sorry. Stick them up. Okay. Well, you can put them down. I'm kind of disappointed in that, to be real blunt with you. What did I get, 50%? If I could just really encourage you, those of you who didn't, put forth effort and time to meditate on the things that you hear. And that's what I'd like this little paper to do for you, to allow you to meditate and think about what you've heard. So, putting a little plug in again. Well, God bless you all this morning. As I already said, I'm excited, glad to be here. It's being a blessing to my own heart. You know, this is work. It's work for me. It's work for you. Think, take it in, apply it to life, figure out how it applies to life. How do I change? What is God speaking to me? Well, it's work for me too. So thank you for those of you who are praying. But it's very, very much of a blessed work. And I do love it. Let's pray before we begin. Father, it's us again. And we've come to you already, not only today, but yesterday, and now we're coming today we've already come quite a few times, Lord, but we just come again saying, please, Father, we want to hear from you. Please, Lord, make the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart this morning, Lord, be acceptable in your sight and profitable for each and every one of us. Please, Father, help, Lord. I ask for your help with my words, my heart, and ask for your help for the ears and the heart of my dear brothers and sisters, the young people here this morning. We love you, Lord, and we want to go on. We want to learn more what you have for us, and we want to follow you in these days, and so help. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We come through that blessed name of Jesus. Amen. I want to look at another principle. I told you yesterday, I want to share five different principles that were a tremendous blessing to me, affected me, changed me, influenced me, and still do today. This principle, your little booklet, the title is this: Following Hard After Godliness. Following Hard After Godliness. And the principle, you can put in your little subtitle spot there, the principle is the principle of violent pursuit. And I'll try to explain that little word violent, can be taken wrong for sure. But the principle of violent pursuit, there's a principle I'd like us to look at this morning. And what I'm titling this principle, it could be titled many different things, but I'm titling this little principle that we're going to meditate on this morning, violent pursuit. And if you want to know why I choose violent, open your Bibles to Matthew 11. Maybe some of you already guessed it. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 12. Violent pursuit is the principle. Here we have John the Baptist talking about John the Baptist in verse 12, and it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I remember pondering over that verse, and I still don't necessarily feel like I know all of what the depths of what this may mean here, but I'm going to pull one thing out of it that I do think it means. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. That means there is violence happening to the kingdom of heaven, and it's those who take it by force that are going to obtain this kingdom of heaven. And I don't believe that God intends for the kingdom of heaven to just be taken in an easy, relaxed way. I believe God intends for this kingdom of heaven, as you and I pursue the kingdom of God, and we pursue God, and we pursue godliness, and we pursue these things, I think we need to realize that as we search, God didn't intend for it to be easy. And thus He uses little words like violent. And we're going to look at a whole bunch more scriptures. A whole bunch of them. And I want to write down a word. Thank you, Brother Allen, for this illustration. I'm going to write down some words as we go along here, to try to stamp them in your memory. Violence. When we look at the kingdom of heaven, and we look at the kingdom of God, and we talk about violence, we're not talking about using our fists and hitting and fighting, and we're not talking about using guns and war and atomic energy like the world does when they get violent and there's war. We're talking about the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God calls forth from you and I, there's a call that we have some violence about us. And there be an earnestness, such an earnestness and a pursuit in our heart that God uses the word violent. And if we want to take the kingdom of heaven, and if we want to take the kingdom of God, and if we want our lives to become more and more godly, and we want our lives to be consumed with godliness, there's going to be some violence about our pursuit of Him. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but there's going to be violence of chopping things out of our life and getting rid of distractions. But there's also going to be violence as we pursue and seek for and reach forth for what God wants from us. Some may take what I shared yesterday, the principle of the Holy Ghost and fire, and they look at this little wagon going up this hill, and they may say, okay, as long as we get our engine on it, we can sit back in our wagon and relax. It doesn't work that way. And that's where, as I said yesterday, my illustration maybe falls short. Illustrations usually do. They make a point, but you can't carry them to the nth degree. We can't sit down in our wagon and say, all right, now I'm a Christian. Now there's a fire burning in my heart. I'm going to prop up my feet and I'm going to float along. It doesn't work that way. Young people, if we want to be godly, and we want to pursue godliness, and you should, by the way, and you want especially this little notch in time that we talked about yesterday that I called youth, and you want it packed full of earnestness in pursuing godliness, there's going to have to be some earnestness, some violence. And I'm going to look at the world. Let me take just a couple of illustrations from the world just briefly. A wealthy businessman was asked one day. They asked him, how did you do it? Here you are, you're a man and you have this business that's blossoming and it's growing. And how did you make your wealthy business? And how do you have all that you have? And you know, a lot of people aspire to that. His answer was simple. It was this. I eat, I sleep, and I drink my business. It works. In America today, and even in Zanzibar, where I've been living for a few years, if you eat and you sleep and you drink your business in a picture form, and that's what you do with life, and that's what you love to think about, and that's what you eat, and that's what you sleep, and that's what you meditate on, and that's what you pursue, it'll work. You can make it work. Want to be a wealthy businessman? Here it is. Eat, sleep, and drink your business. Young people, I have better thoughts of you. You want to be godly. Young people, eat, sleep, and drink godliness. And you become godly. Is it a work of yours? No, it's a work of God. Remember that engine on that little wagon. But if you eat, you sleep, and you drink it, it will. Young people. Neil Armstrong, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sorry, I'm not good with this, and I didn't look it up. I just pulled this out of my memory. So if I made a mistake, please forgive me and get the point. I believe he won the Tour de France 6-7 times in a row. Some people like to blame him for using drugs and all that. Well, whether he did or he didn't, he was a very motivated man. And many people would come to him also, just like they went to the wealthy businessman, and they would say, "Hey, Mr. Armstrong, what are you doing? Well, you know, am I saying Neil Armstrong? Do I have the right name? Lance Armstrong, thank you very much. Neil Armstrong, he went to the moon, is that right? I'm sorry. I saw some of you smiling and I thought I must have made a mistake. Lance Armstrong, thank you. And they said, "Mr. Armstrong, how can you do it? How do you hop on your bicycle and you pedal like no one else in the world pedals?" And his answer was this: "If you trained the way I trained, you could do what I do. If you trained the way I train, then you could do what I do." You know, I realize God gifts some people with more ability to have strong legs than others and probably balance a bicycle better than others. But the point is this: if you're going to accomplish something, your heart and life and everything you have needs to beat with that thing. And it'll work. Young people, it works for the kingdom of God also. A violent pursuit is what I want to lift up to you this morning. One of the ways God began speaking to my own heart about this violent pursuit was this. And again, forgive me, I'm not an artist. But let's say we have this river. This is a river. And I'm a little boat here, a little canoe in the middle of this river. And I feel like the little phrase that stuck in my heart, that stuck down with me for years now, is this: "Mickey, pick up your oars and row. Pick up your oars and row." I realized I was a boat. The blessing that I had, and I thank God for this tremendous blessing, is there were, and I'm going to use a different color. Maybe I should do it like this. I'm going to say I'm the red one, just to make it stick out here. Is I had a whole bunch of other boats. And they were all around me. And there was a lot of them. And we were headed against the tide. The tide runs this way. In my Christian life, I've pictured my Christian life this way. We all know we're going against the tide if we're truly walking with God in holiness and purity. We're going against the tide. The tide of the world, like Brother Allen shared this morning. The tide of our flesh. The tide of, we can talk about many things. I praise God that I was, when God changed my life and He saved my soul, I was born into, in my Christian birth, born into a group of a bunch of other boats, and they were moving this way. And what do you think happened to me as I'm all surrounded by all these boats, all these canoes around here? What happened with me? Which way did I go? I went this way. Even though the current might have been going this way, I went this way. But it started dawning on me that the reason I was going this way and not going this way at that time in my life is because of all this. Not because of me. And you know, that's a godly principle, and I don't want to tear that one down. It's right and beautiful that it be that way. But God started stirring in my own heart, "Mickey, it's time for you to become a part of those who are propelling this direction. It's time for you to quit sitting in your boat, getting bumped here and bumped here and bumped here, and they guide me along, moving me up the stream." And I had blessing in it. I did. I'm tremendously blessed. I had a godly father and a mother and family, and I had church experiences, and there were different things along that bumped me, bumped me, bumped me. And they kept influencing me. And do you know, this principle should be in your life. Even if you move from where I was sitting to where you're rowing, you still need this principle. Young people, I'm not trying to take away from that principle. If we have time, we'll talk about that principle a little more, but that's a little different one. The point I'm trying to make this morning is, I was being moved not because of my own violence, but because of other people's violence. And I thank God for that. And there's a time and a place in babies, toddlers, children. They need bumped along. But it came to my heart, Mickey, pick up your oars and row. Turn to Hebrews 6. It's a little unsung nugget here that blessed me. And I don't know why this verse has stuck with me. It's really not the best ones. I'm going to share some better ones that make my point more clearly. But this little verse stuck out to me. Don't know how many years ago, teens of years ago. And it blessed me as this principle of Mickey, pick up your oars and row began coming to me. Mickey, began to violently pursue God yourself. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles or the basics or the foundations of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Say it. Let us go on. I'm going to put that word down. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Does that mean faith towards God and repentance and repentance are wrong? Absolutely not. But let's go on. Let's build on top of that. And that little verse, again, I'm not sure why, that little verse stuck in my heart. And it became a verse that motivated me as I went through life. Mickey, go on. Mickey, go on. Pick up your oar and move it yourself and push. I guess you pull probably with rowing, don't you? Put it down and pull. Put it down and pull, Mickey. You get sore muscles, yeah, but they grow. And it makes you godly. And it propels you up the stream. And you become one of them who help bring a movement, and you help pull others, and you help influence others, and you help drive others. And not only that, you get somewhere yourself. The principle of violent pursuit. Go on unto perfection. Jump back with me to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, you know this verse also. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, and this is after Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11 was listing off a whole bunch of heroes of the faith and the godliness that was about them and the holiness that was about them and the way they pursued God and the way they cast off the things of the flesh. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See all these clouds of witnesses around here? And he was actually talking about others in the past, not necessarily the ones that are around you right now. But also, there's a place to use the ones that are around you. But realize, you have this cloud of witnesses of godly men and godly women, and they're pursuing, and they're going forward. Therefore, or wherefore, because of all of this, let us lay aside the weights. Some people, you need to reach in your canoe sometimes. And you need to grab this big old bag of lead or whatever it is that's slowing you down. Lift it out. Throw it out so that you can go forward. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. So I'm not going to focus on the lay aside today. Tomorrow we're going to look at the lay aside. Today, it goes on and it says this. Lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us what?
Run.
Thank you. Run. Run, young people. Run. In your pursuit of godliness, run. There are a few of you here today. They could probably run for a minute and not be tired at all. There are some of us, if we ran for a solid minute, we get tired that quickly. Maybe some of you can do it. It depends if it's an all-out run or a slow run, but get the point. Run, young people, run. In your Christian life, lay aside the weights that are besetting you, the weights that are weighting you down. Why? So that you can run. You need to go forward. You need to pick up your oars. And you need to start rowing. That's right. And rowing. and rowing and exerting energy. I thought about naming this principle exertion. Same thing. Exert energy in your pursuit of God. Allow some witnesses around you also to be a blessing, young people. I allowed some witnesses around me to be a blessing to me, and they motivated me. Allow some of the witnesses that are alive today to be a blessing to you. Allow some of the witnesses that are in the past. I want to encourage biographical, and I'm going to encourage some of this a little later too, but biographical studies of the Word of God have been a blessing to me. Even biographical of extra-biblical, outside of the Word of God, are a blessing. But biographical studies of men and women of God, and watch their lives. Watch with them as they go through the aches and pains of pursuing godliness, and as they go through the aches and pains of seeking holiness, and put yourself in their shoes and see that, you know, when it says they traveled from this city to this city and then they preached, don't just think, oh yeah, they hopped in a car and buzzed over there. No, it was some work. And then they got some stones beat at them. Oh yeah, and they went on to the next city. No, sit down and realize what these people went through. A stone smashing into your head. And another one smashing here. And you're sitting there in a rubble and they leave you for dead. And your body's screaming. Whether it was a miracle or the discipline of a godly man, I'm not sure. But he was able to stand up, shake off the stones, climb out of this pile of rocks, and go to the next city and preach and marvel at these witnesses and say, God, make me holy and godly like that. Use witnesses to help you run, to be violent, to go on. Surround yourself. I'm going to give you a couple more illustrations. Surround yourself with these illustrations, with these witnesses. There's a man named, I think his name was Apollo, something like that. An unknown little African man. And he got born again. And as he grew in Christ, he realized there were some villages over there that didn't know of Christ. And they were continuing on in their heathendom. And he decided, I'm going to go preach the gospel to them. I feel like God has called me there. And he headed out to this village over here. And he starts talking to the chief. And he starts preaching. And you know what? They didn't want him. They said, get out of here. And he said, I'm sorry. But God sent me here to preach the gospel. And there's a place biblically when people say to get out, to get out. I'm not trying to disregard that. But this happened in this story. He said, but God sent me here to share something with you. They got angry with him as he tried to share. They tied him up and they beat him and took him outside and outside the village there and left him for dead. One poor old lady went out there, drug him back to her little hut, and nursed him back to health. Slowly, little by little by little. A messenger of the gospel. And as he began to get well, she believed in the gospel. And he got well enough to stand back up. And he was slowly nursed back to health. And he went out. And he said, I've been told to preach the gospel in this village. So he went out. And he started doing it again. And it took some time, but God worked through him. And some souls got born again, and a little church was raised up there. Why? Because there was a faithful little man named Apollo who was a bit violent in his Christian life. And he ran, and he rode, and he pushed. Surround yourself with these kind of people. Create an atmosphere for yourself. Sometimes I fear that if we only saturate ourselves, no, it's true. If we only saturate ourselves with a very low standard of Christian living, we are going to get a very low standard of Christian living ourselves. Find people, find men, find a Michael Sattler and marvel at him as his tongue is yanked out and his flesh is pinched off and he's drugged through the streets and he's tied on to a ladder and then they lift this ladder up and he's way up here and they push him into the fire. And as his ropes slowly burn off and he's gone through tremendous pain and agony and everything slowly burns off, he wants all those standing around to know that Christ is victorious even in death, and he raises his hands and he points toward heaven. That's a witness. That'll motivate you. It motivated me as I wept over his life and I said, God, he was searching too. He came as a monk and he was searching and he searched and he sought for truth and he found truth. And when he found it, he wouldn't let it go till death. He ran. He was violent. He pursued. This is the call of the Christian life. Violent pursuit. Turn to Philippians. And I just have to start in the middle and stop in the middle here. Philippians chapter 3 is such a blessing to me. That I might know Him. The old apostle Paul said that I might know Him. He wasn't sitting around in his boat waiting on everybody to push him around, was he? This man knew how to row. That I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And even the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I didn't have this written down, but I'm going to write it down here. Any means. I didn't have that on my list, but I'm going to write it down. Not as though I had already attained, either were I already perfect, but I do what? What? Thank you. A couple people said it. I follow after. You know, I see my Lord Jesus out in front of me. I hear the Apostle Paul saying, and I see Him going forward, and I pick up my oars and I say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming. And he rowed that I might know Him. Brethren, I count not, verse 13, myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. And here again, you see this forgetting. Note this for tomorrow. He's laying aside some things about the past. And he's reaching forth. He's reaching forth for those things which are before. And then he also said, I what? Press. And I don't think he meant press a button. Right? Press, you know, beep, you got it. No, I press. Strenuous effort, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. And I believe the Apostle Paul saw his Lord Jesus standing in glory, and he said, Lord Jesus, I want to be there. I want to press with all my might to the very end, and someday I want to hear that well done. And he pressed, and he picked up his oars, and he rowed. Young people, put forth energy in your Christian life. If you have a job, young men especially, if you have a job, I'm going to doubt your boss is real pleased with you if you have a rather relaxed attitude about it all. Whenever he tells you to do something, you'll do it, but you kind of just wait around until you know for sure what to do. Most of us have been at jobs enough to know that those kind of men just aren't all that helpful. You need someone who's ready to go. Anything that needs to be done, he does it. What he's told to do, he does it. And he's earnest about it. It's the same way in our Christian life. I think of this little setting here, I hope kind of never leaves my mind. I was walking through the back streets of Zanzibar, where I lived for a few years. Walking through the back streets with a friend. And he's Muslim, and his father's Muslim. And we're winding through the streets of this little town, through narrow little streets, and we come to an old door, and he opens up the door. And he welcomes me in. And I step inside. And I see the kind of picture that National Geographic puts on their pages. An old, old man. Wrinkly, wrinkly old man. Very wrinkly old man. And he's sitting in his chair. And Answad was his name, and he wanted to take me in and greet his father. And he took me, And he gave me a place to sit, and I noticed, the first thing I noticed, or one of the things I noticed when I stepped inside that door, was I noticed his father had some prayer beads in his hand. He was too old to do a whole lot. He was, you know, they're desperate to rack up good works before God. Because if their good works can outweigh their bad works, then they're okay before God. And he was desperate for that. And so, he was too old to do a whole lot, but one thing he could do was he could hold his prayer beads and he could say a whole bunch of prayers and quote the Quran. And there he sat doing that. Quoting this part of the Quran, quoting it again, quoting it again, quoting it again. And he would move one prayer bead at a time. Again and again and again. And I walked through the door and he didn't even stop. He just kept right on going. An old man, when they get old, they get serious. They all know that and they all even say it. He's counting his prayer beads. And I wasn't sure. Should I interrupt him and greet him? It'd be disrespectful not to greet him, but here he is praying. So Answar, the friend I was with there, greeted him and said, "Hey, Father, you know, I brought this one of my friends here along. I wanted you to greet him, and I wanted him to greet you. I wanted him to see where we are, and you know, he just wanted to communicate." And his father kept on going. Just for a minute, he stopped, and he greeted me, and he greeted his son, told me welcome. And what do you think he did? He started going at it again. He's praying. Young people, in his desperation to be right with God, in his desperation to do what's pleasing to his God, and he's all deathly wrong. Stone wrong. But I've had to wonder sometimes, if they don't use a little more violence and a little more earnestness and a little more running and a little more pressing than some of us do. And it's not right. And I'm not promoting your prayer beads. I'm promoting the earnestness of heart. And I watched that old man. And I watched him pray. His vain oblations. And my heart ached, and it still does. Vain oblations. We need to be earnest. Okay, set that aside. Let's be earnest. All right? You be earnest in your life. Become violent in your pursuit. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And there are dozens of verses. I'm just picking out a few here. And I would encourage you, if you want to go, start searching for these verses, and they'll start popping out of you, popping out from the Word of God all over the place. These verses that motivate you, that command us, that direct us to pursue with all of our hearts. 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness. How many of you think a soldier has an easy, relaxed life? They don't. Okay. I'm sure there's some that climb in the ranks and then they sit in their pomp and all this. But we know the picture of a soldier is not an easy, relaxed life. The picture of a soldier is a man who is focused on one thing. And he has a goal in mind. And he obeys his commanders and he does what he does. And he prepares his heart and he prepares himself because he wants to what? What's he want to do? Win. He wants to war. He wants to fight. And he's earnest. So the Apostle Paul was drawing from this illustration. And he's saying, "I want you." And he's also drawing from the natural world here. I've done that a couple of times with a couple of illustrations. The Apostle Paul is also here. He's drawing from the natural world and he's saying, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And note, this is for tomorrow, but don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Do you see how many times this pops up? Careful, I'll preach tomorrow's sermon too. There's two principles here, and one is the pursuing, the other one is the casting off. But anyway, he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Why? That he may please him. I want to please my Lord. I want to please my Lord Jesus. that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, what's another word we have here? We have strive for masteries. Yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And again, I know there are lots of points here, but I'm just wanting to pull out this one principle. Young people, fight. Pursue. Search. War. I like the little illustration. A couple of young men were sent out on one of their first evangelistic efforts. And they had been trained and they had spent time with others who knew and they had been prepped in their hearts and they were sent out. And they went out to this place and they tried and they tried and they tried and couldn't get through. They sent a telegram back. Telegram they had in those days. And they sent it back and they said, and I don't know the exact words, just the picture here. Not working. Please send us somewhere else. What do we do? Something like that. And it was William Booth who sent back, and he sent back two words. Just two words. Try tears. Try tears. Get on your knees and weep. Weep before God. Do you know what principle he was trying to encourage those two young recruits? Violent pursuit. It's the same principle. And he said it in this word, these two words, try tears. Young people, have you striven unto blood? As it says there in Hebrews 12 that we didn't read, talks about Jesus. We have not yet striven unto blood, striving against sin. Right. Verse mixed up a little bit. War. Fight. Do you see this principle, young people? Do you see this principle, this call of God to violent pursuit of godliness and holiness? Don't expect you're going to get very far if you're just floating along. Okay, I'm sorry. I only got to a few verses. I have a whole bunch more here, and I'm going to say the next ones you have to find yourself. Go look for them. There's a whole bunch of them. And when I say bunch, I'm not just talking of another 10. Many, many. This principle saturates the New Testament. With this principle, violent pursuit. So go look for them. You can go to 1 Timothy 1:18, Matthew 5:6, Romans 12:11, Colossians 1:29, John 6:27, Luke 13:24, Luke 16:16, Ephesians 6:12, and I know you didn't get all those. You go look for them. Oodles of them. Each one with a little different slant, but it's the same principle that God is trying to help us see. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, different ones are trying to help us to see. This Christian life was never meant to be easy. Did you know that? Just a little quote for you. It's been a blessing to me. You write this down if you want. God, some of you probably heard me say it, God never promised. Oh, here, I forget. Let me look at it. God never promised to make it easy. He promised to make it possible. In fact, he said it would be hard. He actually said it would be hard. He never promised to make it easy. Young people, strive. One of the burdens on my heart for my children, I just have few of them yet, and they're all little. One of the cries of my heart is, God, make them pursuit Christians, not floating Christians. Know what I mean? There's a difference. You can walk up to people and you can meet them, not just young people, but old people also. And you talk with them and after a while you can sense, yeah, he's hungry. He's pursuing. He has a little violence inside of him that's driving him. Or you can meet this one and it's kind of like, I'm not sure. I mean, sure, God's probably done a work in him, but it's because this principle, he hasn't grabbed a hold of it with both of his hands and said, God, I want to be a violent pursuer of godliness, of God, godliness. That's one of the longings for my children. And I know I can't do it. I can't make Timothy have that fire burning in his heart and pursue with all he has. But this principle is a beautiful principle, young people. And as it begins to grow in you, and I'm sure many of you understand this principle, But as this principle continues to grow and to grow, I'm just wanting to encourage you, if it's already started growing, God bless you, keep going! And if you notice, it's just not there much. It's not a lot of hunger and passion and longing and burden and... Start pursuing. Start seeking. Start searching. I have 10 minutes to mention 18 points. Okay? That's kind of ridiculous. I don't have time to make those points. I'm going to rattle them off to you. Not because I want you to necessarily get every one of them. If you want to, you can try. Some of you can write very fast. Maybe you can. The point is not that you get every one of these points and, yes, I'm going to do this. And I don't just have lists of Bible verses to prove them, but you'll understand them and you'll agree with them. I'm just going to give you this list because I want to stir your mind. What do I mean now by violence? By going on? By running? By any means? By following after? Reaching forth? Pressing? Enduring hardness? Strive? War? And the list goes on and on and on. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by violent pursuit of godliness? And I'm just going to give you a little glimpse into a few little applications. This list is not complete. This list is not balanced. These are things that come to my mind and on my heart. And each one of them are a very deep principle, though, that is worthy of a whole session. But I'm going to mention them. A person, young person, old person, who is in violent pursuit of godliness. Did you hear what Brother Cornelius said yesterday? He'll love this book. And he'll spend time in this book. He will. You have to. You must! And I did want to mention this too before I keep going on this list. These things that I'm going to start mentioning and rattling off to you, they're two things. They are a result and they are a cause. If I have time, we'll talk about this principle a little bit more. There are many things in the Christian life that are a result and they are a cause, and they work for both. Right here at the top, I'm writing heart. Right here at the bottom, I'm writing actions. Sorry, I did that too small. And this arrow from actions points to heart, and this arrow from heart points to actions. When the heart is right, I realize this illustration falls short if everything's not in the right place. But if everything's in the right place, and... For example, these 18 things I'm going to mention here, and there are many more, but these 18 things, if you feel that your heart is in them, they will flow out in action. And then if you do actions, it will affect your heart. And then if your heart is affected, it will affect your actions. And if you do them, it'll change you. And if you do them, it'll change you. And if you're changed, you'll do them. And if you do them, it'll change you. And if it changes you, you'll do them. It's a beautiful cycle. It works the other way too. But anyway... So, down through these 18 things, if you find that they're in your heart, rejoice and let them flow out. If you find that some of these things that I'm going to mention to you are not so much in your heart, you seek God. Seek God to change that heart from stone to soft flesh one. And then, if you start doing these actions, it'll affect your heart. And then you'll want to do them. And then you'll do them some more. And then you'll want to do them. You see this principle? That's another whole principle. Actions affect the heart, and heart affect the actions. And I realize it has to have its smack in the middle of it. It has to have the hand of God. I know it does. Without the hand of God, that principle doesn't work in the spiritual things. Okay, number one. You will spend time in this book. A violently pursuing Christian who doesn't just want to float along in the midst of this. He will love the Word of God. I think it was probably D.L. Moody that said, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. Probably most of you have heard that. Do you believe it? What you do with this Word of God determines what God does with you. Number two, you will put effort into prayer. You will. You will put forth effort into seeking the face of God. We will be able to find you on your knees many times. And, dare I say, much time. And this stirs my own heart. God, teach me to pray. It's one of the ways. Do I need to say anything? It'll help you row. It's one of the outflows of a heart, and it's one of the actions to motivate the heart, both ways, as we row. Number three, it's maybe this is similar to prayer. You'll also learn to intercede, and I find that a little different than just in, it's all under the heading of prayer, maybe. But intercede. Young people, that's work. For me, anyway. I pray for people, and I can just mention their names. If I have a list, you can go down through them. But to really get under the burden and think, all right, Lord, and again, this is another whole point that I'm still learning in. God, what do you want me to pray for these people? And then you pick up a burden for it. And then you say, God, what do you want me to do to help? If there's something I can actually do to help accomplish this thing, and you carry this person and you look for things that you can help, and there's whole principles involved in intercession, but begin learning. Pick up your oars and row, young people. Row! It's a glorious life that's strenuous, but it's beautiful. And it's rewarding. Number four, you will earnestly pursue complete victory in every area of your life. Complete victory. And you will see, Lord, I made a mistake and I'm failing. And you'll grab it with both hands and you'll pursue. God, I'm going to get this one. I shouldn't say I don't want the emphasis to be on me. God, you will change me till there's victory in my life. Because He's the one with the engine. But young people, the call of God on us is a violent pursuit. And as we violently pursue, He'll dump in the fuel and He'll keep the engine going and it'll pump you up the hill. Hallelujah. Complete victory in every area of your life. Number five, you will find ways to serve others, love doing it, and do it as if you were getting to serve for Jesus. You'll do that. You'll find ways to serve. How can I bless him? And how can I bless her? And you know what? This needs done around the house and I'm going to do it. And I think Dad would like it if I did that. And so I do it. And maybe you even go to your ministry and you'll ask them, how can I bless you or pray for you or whatever? And you'll find ways to serve. And you'll love serving because you'll be serving as unto Jesus. And it'll be exercising your muscles. And you start to realize giving's more blessed than receiving. And you'll start to realize the blessings are flowing in. And there's strength going into your arms. And you're moving forward. And you're no longer being pulled along just by these people. But you're starting to pull others too. Hallelujah. Number six. You will look for ways to forward the cause of another. And this is a whole beautiful principle that I'm still striving to learn. What are someone else's goals? What are someone else's plans? And how can I help further that? Does that brother have a vision? How can I help further his vision and his heart? The tendency, and maybe especially us young men, I'm not sure, but the tendency is I want a vision. And I want to have something that's my vision and my heart and my thing to do. And it's my whatever. It's godly to find someone who you love and respect and get behind that heart and that vision and say, God, how can I further the cause of that person's burden? It's good. What's someone else's goals? And you know, simple little things. If someone else says something before you said it and they come up with the answer before you did, rejoice and be glad in your heart. And don't wish you'd have said it before them and gotten the credit for it. You know, look for ways to push others up, not yourself. Row! You'll look for souls to influence, number seven. Whether they're born again or lost, you'll look for souls to influence. How can I be a blessing to this one? I know he's struggling. I'm going to just give him a note. Brother walked up to me with a note. He had written a prayer, a couple of verses, a reference to a song number. And he gave it to me and said, here. And he's praying for me. I thank God. He is. I believe him. Do that. Look for others. You will look, number eight, you will look for ways to die to yourself and do the dirty jobs and take the low road. You will. If you want to row and you're a pursuit Christian, you'll look for ways to take the low road, do the dirty jobs, do what no one else wants to do. All right, we need to clean the house. I'll clean the bathroom. Right? Okay, So we need to move some of these chairs over here. Just flock there. Do it. Serve. You have an opportunity to serve and do it as unto Jesus. And while you're doing it, sing. Pray. That's one of my points down here. That might even be next. No, not quite yet. Number 9, you'll fast. Fast. Violently pursuing people, fast. Number 10, you will seek to talk with God throughout your day. Most of you maybe know this little illustration, but it blesses me so often, I'm going to share it again. You know the illustration of the rubber band? If you attach the rubber band to heavenly things, and you stretch it down here to earthly things, and you accomplish what needs to be done, and I like to picture that a lot with my mind, and I need to do things, and I need to accomplish things, and I need to think about things, but when you get a chance, where does this rubber band go? Whoop! Right back up to the heavenly things. The natural man is just the opposite. It's attached down here to earthly things, this rubber band is, and we stretch it to heavenly things Sunday morning. And we stretch it to heavenly things when we read our Bibles. And we stretch it to heavenly things whenever we go to prayer meeting. And we stretch it to heavenly things when we have our devotions or whatever. But give us a half a chance and back down here to the earthly. We plug away at all these earthly things. And I know we have a call, and I just talked about service and earthly things, but be a spiritual person that's consumed and violent about spiritual things. Labor not for the meat which perishes is one of the verses I didn't read. What is stamped across your life? Labor for the meat that perishes or labor for the meat that doesn't perish? One of the two probably consumes who you are. Maybe in this illustration of this rubber band, you'll try to set your watch every hour to beep every hour, and every hour remind you, and as soon as it goes off, it'll beep. You say, "Oh yes, Lord, thank you." And you start to pray for some soul that day. Or you start quoting that Bible verse you read this morning. Or maybe you'll write down a Bible verse and you'll stick it in your pocket, and every time your watch beeps, or every time the clock chimes, your heart will be lifted up to Him. Why? Because you're in pursuit of God and godliness and holiness, and you want to row. Number 11, you will begin to look for examples in godly men and follow them. You'll look for them and you'll see them and you'll say, "That's godly. I want to be like that." And you'll follow them and you'll look to them. And you know what else? You'll take direction from them. And you'll appreciate it. And you'll love it. That's what violent people do. It's not cool to have the answers yourself. And it's not godly to have all the answers yourself and stand on your own 2 feet and not need others. It's not. Godliness will learn from others. Be attracted to godly examples. And you'll be attracted to those. Remember yesterday I mentioned those of the burning heart. And you'll love them. You'll love to spend time with them. And you'll love to be influenced by them. Number 12, you'll probably find time to, maybe this is the same thing, a subheading, but you'll probably find time to listen to messages of men that you respect and you want to learn from. It's probably 11b, actually, rather than 12. I have it here as 12. 13, you'll probably find, you'll begin to have a greater value on reading godly, spiritual, stimulating books. You will. And you say you're not a reader, maybe it's a little too strong to say it, but tough luck. Too bad. Get over it. Start to learn to read. If you can only do a little bit at a time, start with that. Saturate yourself with influence that'll bless you. I'm not talking about reading junk either. 14. Work hard. What God calls you to, work hard. You work hard if you're in pursuit. When it comes time to serve your master, if you're an employee, work hard for Him. Work harder for Him than if it was your own business. If it's your own business, it wouldn't matter to you as much because, you know, you're the one responsible. And maybe you could focus on other things more and, you know. But if you're an employee, work hard for Him at the time you're there. Don't consume your life with it and spend hours and hours at it. No, but when you're doing it, where you are, wherever you are, be all there. Serve as unto Jesus. Fifteen, pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue them. I fear that we blame personality on too much on personality and we just say, "Well, that's not my personality," or "That's not my gift," and we just skip it. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you see a gift in a brother and he's merciful, mark him. I've marked Brother Allen for a couple of things, and I watch him. And I want to learn from him. And I've marked my father, and I've marked, and I could go down the list of a lot of people. Mark them on some things. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Follow them. I think I got off my point here. Pursue spiritual gifts. Don't just say, well, that's their personality and it's not mine. I can't this and I'm not that way. Well then, pursue it! Be a violent Christian pursuing. Work hard. Number 17, work hard on relationships. Dad, how can I bless our relationship? Mom, how can I bless our relationship? Your elders, your pastors, your friends, your whoever, someone who has a struggle with you. 17, if you are an earnest pursuit Christian, you will learn to love authority. Number 17, you will. And 18, you will learn to be on a search for applications and character qualities and fulfilling and applying them to your life. You'll look for character qualities in others and yourself. And as you're reading the Word and you'll look for ways to apply it, how do I apply this? And I know this is an overload of application, so to speak. The point is not that you get them all. Do you see this person? Do you see this person that's consumed in violent pursuit? It's beautiful. It's lovely. And I want you to have it. I want you to be that kind of person. I want you to sense that blessing of God and His blessing on you and His, I've tasted it. I want more of it. I've tasted it, young people, and it's sweet. And I know some of you have also. Pursue violently, young people. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.